This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We trust the program will encourage and challenge you, perhaps instruct you. We just trust that it will bless you as well. Now, if you would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we would be happy to pray for you if you have prayer requests, and we would love to get your comments on the program. Now, we've been looking at the Lord Jesus as the most important person in the Bible, and we've looked at the progressive revelation of him from the Old Testament through to the New, and we have trusted that in doing that we have been clear about the need for trusting him for salvation, that the Lord wants our worship, and we start out by worshiping him when we come to an understanding of our own sin and turn to him for salvation. And since we're coming to a part of the year, the season of the year, when we all recognize the Thanksgiving holiday, I think it's an appropriate time for us to give thanks, if we're saved, to the Lord for what he has done for us. I'm thinking of two verses. One's in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, which says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Be anxious for nothing. I think most of us have problems thinking about things that we cannot control and things we're anxious about. It may be our finances, it may be our health, it may be our families, it may be our country, but we're told to be anxious for nothing. In other words, commit your way to the Lord. The one who has saved you is the one who will also keep you. And so, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then again, I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, which says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And of course, 1 Corinthians 15 is really the doctrinal explanation of the resurrection. First, we start out with the over 500 that saw the Lord at one time, and we see how that our gospel, our faith would be empty or futile if the Lord had not been raised from the dead. But he has been raised from the dead. And there were those who saw him after he was raised from the dead. And the disciples saw him after he was raised from the dead. And so he gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be thankful then for the resurrection, which is sort of God's exclamation point with regard to the gospel. So what can we give thanks for today? Well, we should be able to give thanks for our spouses, and sometimes we fail to do that. We take them for granted, and we take what they do for us for granted. And whether it's a wife taking for granted her husband for granted, or whether it's a husband taking his wife for granted, it doesn't hurt not only to take a little time to express our love for them, but to thank them for what they contribute in the partnership that they're in. Because a marriage is a partnership, and our spouses are part of that partnership, and we need to appreciate them. Some have one role in that partnership, and some have another role. We're all good at different things, but if our marriages are to work, we have to work harmoniously together, and sometimes we forget what our other spouse is contributing to our partnership. And not only should we tell them that we love them, but we should thank them for their contribution to the marriage partnership if we are enjoying that marriage partnership. And even if we aren't, maybe if we would give thanksgiving for the partnership, maybe we would start enjoying it. Being thankful is a key to a happy life, and it's a key to a happy marriage. So we should be thankful for our spouses and for what they do, what they are contributing to our marriages. And we should be giving thanks for our country. Recently, I have had opportunity to talk to people who are in other foreign countries that we would consider developed countries. We would consider them democratic countries, and yet when I've been talking to them, in some cases they don't have electricity but a part of the day, and they're buying their water, and their gas prices are way higher than ours, and they put money in the bank and they can't get it back out. And so when we look at some of the issues that are taking place in the world today, I know that we have issues in the U.S. of A., but we need to be thankful that we live here. I've often said I was born in 1943, and I've lived in 79 years of the best time this country has ever had. I realize we've gone through skirmishes and different problems. We've had assassinations, and we've had insurrections, and we've had all the things that we worry about, but really we are blessed to be in the United States of America. We're thankful that I'm thankful at least that I wasn't a part of the original insurrection, the Revolutionary War. England would have looked at that as an insurrection. We won it, so we look at it as a victory. I'm glad I wasn't here when the Civil War was taking place. And I'm glad that I live in a time when I can find food. It may not be the food I really wanted, but I can find food in the grocery stores. There may be some empty shelves, but there's not so many empty shelves that I'm going to go hungry. And I have a roof over my head, and I have heat, and I have hot water. I can be thankful for this country in which we live, and we should be praying, as the Lord says, for our leaders. We may not have voted for them, but we should pray for the ones that the Lord has established, and pray that they get wisdom from God and good counsel in the decisions that they make. We should be giving thanks for our friends. We all have friends who have contributed to our lives. Sometimes we forget or get out of touch with friends. I've got friends that I haven't seen in a good many years, but when the last time, times when we get together, even if it's been a long time since we've seen each other, we can pick up where we left off, and we know that we are supporting each other. The best friends are Christian friends, ones who see the world the same way that we see it, the ones who are confident that the Lord is their Savior and that He is the one that is going to control or bless us during our lives. When I talk about the control that the Lord has, I realize He sets boundaries, but I don't want to use the word control in such a way that it makes it seem like He causes us to sin, because He doesn't. He provides for our sinnership. And so we need to be giving thanks for friends who have encouraged us, who have in some cases led us to the Lord so we could trust Him. We need to be thankful for friends who encourage us. And most of all, we should be giving thanks to our God for the Lord who died for us. The songwriter said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. So we have the Lord who died for us, and now He calls us His friends. He says, no longer am I going to call you a servant, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I'm calling you friends, and greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. So we have earthly friends, but we have another friend that sticks closer than a brother. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as a friend. We need to be thankful for the apostles who led the charge in the early New Testament church. I often wonder how I would have been able to minister in the early New Testament church, because by and large, people didn't read like we do. There was many people who could read. There was homeschool and so forth, and there was schooling for younger people, as I understand it, in the synagogues. But they didn't have the manuscripts we have. They had Old Testament manuscripts, and most of those were kept by the priestly class, and they weren't available to everybody. And today, when people talk to me about the gospel, I often tell them that they need to read the Bible. But I probably couldn't have said that to the people in the early New Testament church. So how did those people in the early New Testament church know that what they were hearing from the apostles was in fact the truth, that they were getting the straight dope? Well, the Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word would be established, and the apostles all were witnessing the same thing. They had seen the Lord in the upper room. They had seen him after the resurrection. They had been commissioned to go and preach the gospel, first of all in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then into all the world. But most of all, the early apostles had what we call the sign gifts. They were able to heal, and in particular, they healed people, and they were able to show that the God was with them through the fact that they had miraculous ability to do miracles that we cannot do today. Today, miracles would give the Bible authenticity, but in that day, those miracles gave the apostles authenticity so that people would remember or would believe what they said. And of course, it had to make sense because the Jews always sought after a sign, and it was the Jews who had to be convinced that the Lord was who he claimed to be. And today, the Jews are still rejecting the Lord as a nation, but they're individual Jews who have trusted him. But the Jews seek after signs. They want to see a prophet who can do some miracle to prove to them that he's telling the truth. But the Gentiles, they seek after wisdom, and that just means it's got to be logical for us. And so I have a tendency to take people through the prophecies that were fulfilled when the Lord came the first time so that they understand that this is very word of God. And then the question is, how do you get faith? And many people have different ways of telling people to come to faith. Some tell them to decide. Some tell them to pray. Some tell them to go forward. Some tell them to do some religious ceremony. But I tell them to read the Bible because it tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there is something about the miraculous nature of reading the very word of God that has been left for us, and having the Holy Spirit convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, and show us that this very Bible can be depended upon because it tells us about the only person who can save us for eternity. It tells us how the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. So we have to be thankful for the apostles, particularly for those who left on record the messages that they were giving to the early church at that time. So I'm just glad for them, and I'm glad that today I have a completed Bible that I can depend upon and that I can tell people to read. And I'm telling them that if you read it, it will make a difference in your thinking. I'm convinced of it. And so we're thankful that when we read the Bible, we read that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8 and verse 1. It's nice to be in Christ Jesus. That means that we're saved and we're seen in his righteousness. Romans 8 and 1 says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, that's the unbeliever, but according to the Spirit, and that's the believer. We walk according to the Word of God. We believe it, and it affects the way we think and the way we act. So we can say today at Thanksgiving time, we can say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you have a good Thanksgiving season. I hope you can give thanks to the Lord for your salvation. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless thy word. Bless those who will listen to this message. We thank thee for thy Son. In our Savior's name, amen.